Welcome to the Imagine Israel podcast, brought to you by the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington. Imagine Israel is the initiative of the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington, connecting Washingtonians to Israel and Israelis through the lens of social change. With every Imagine Israel podcast, we get to meet innovative Israeli influencers and changemakers, people addressing social and economic challenges in Israel. We'll hear from people whose lives and whose work intersect as they address issues in Israeli society. And I'm your host, Robbie Grindgrass, and I'm coming to you from Makom, the Israel Education Lab of the Jewish Agency for Israel. So in this episode, we have the honor of meeting Avi Naor. As well as being a successful businessman, Avi has been instrumental in the creation and operation of two crucial NGOs in Israel. Shachaf, is the first NGO, works to establish and support young social action communities. So what's that? What are young social action communities? They're where ideological young adults have chosen to settle down permanently in underprivileged towns and tough neighborhoods throughout Israel. And these communities work in the towns, living in the towns, working alongside local residents, helping to reduce socioeconomic inequality and strengthen Israeli society. Where are these communities established? Well, the word that tends to be used in Israel is the word periphery. Geographical periphery, like Dimona, which is a town some 2 hours' drive from the center, from Tel Aviv, and economic periphery, kind of tough neighborhoods in larger cities. So I'll be talking with Avi about this later in the episode. But first, we're going to talk about Or Yarok, Green Light. This is the other incredible NGO that Avi's instrumental in creating and maintaining. Green Light is dedicated to road safety in Israel. Now, on the one hand, compared to, say, Greater Washington, Israel has about half the number of annual road fatalities per 10,000 than you guys have. So it's not that bad on the one hand. But on the other hand, road fatalities are still so high that we actually live in this crazy situation whereby more people have died on the roads in Israel than have died throughout the Israeli-Arab conflict on both sides since 1920. Okay? More people have died on the roads than in the wars. So if we're talking about the safety of Israelis, the real war has actually been waged on the roads and not the battlefields. After losing his own son to a fatal car accident, Avi Naor decided to do something about it and set up Or Yarok. So we're going to be looking at both these areas of Avi Naor's work. In a sense, we might say that his philanthropic work is dedicated to the two sides of what it means for Israel to survive. Looking after life itself, with Or Yarok's work on the roads, and looking after the quality of that life, with Shachaf and the social action communities. Let's meet Avi Naor. So Avi Naor, very pleased to meet you. Funnily enough, I must say that the first time that I met you or came across your name was when my son was about to take his driving test. And somebody came round and insisted on sitting down with me, the father of the driver, and the driver together to explain to us how he could stay safe. And all this was due to some strange organization called Green Light or Yarok. Tell me, how did that connect me to you?
Or Yarok have been founded a little bit more than 20 years ago after my son was killed in a car accident. And I wanted to do something in that would be somehow connected. I still was in the business then. I was traveling a lot. And I decided to spend 1-2 days in each place where I came and to learn what they are doing regarding road safety and to see how we in Israel are in compared to those countries that we should compare ourselves with.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out many countries, they have succeeded to cut sometimes in half every 5 years or decade. And they did it year after year, decade after decade. And when I went into the details to learn how they succeed doing it, I found out that there are things that are in common to those countries. All of them had long-term, multi-year national plan.
Long-term, multi-year national plan, which I guess it doesn't sound all that Israeli, that idea.
Right, at that time. Multidisciplinary, because mm-hmm. road safety, it's not falling in any country under one discipline or under one ministry.
Right,
it's always transportation and interior and health and education.
Right.
So they succeeded to build a multidisciplinary plan with a commitment of all ministers associated with it. And always it was led, at least from the responsibility, the public responsibility point of view, it was led by the prime minister or the president.
So also an expectation for cooperation and collaboration between ministers.
Between ministers.
Which also doesn't sound that Israeli.
Yeah. So it built the understanding that we can make things happen in Israel, and that our organization, Or Yarok, should push the government and the parliament to have kind of multi-year, multidisciplinary, ask for responsibility. For a short time, when we pushed them and they didn't respond, I said, okay, I understood the message. I will set up a team to set up this program.
Mm-hmm.
And I set up the team, and government officials, they don't like the private sector to interfere in their business. So very short after, they set up a team to build this a program. So we went out to the public with a petition demanding from the government to adopt and implement the program as it will be presented to them by this committee. And in time of 3 months, we have succeeded to get 1.2 million signatures of adults in Israel.
Wow, which is more than one in eight, one in seven person signed it.
All over, but since we didn't speak with people less than 60,
and these are adults, right?
Then it's much higher. I would say that it's 1.2 out of, then it was about 3.5 million people.
Wow.
One third. And we put it, all the signatures very nicely in six volumes, books, covered with leather. And I came to the Prime Minister, Sharon, at that time, and gave it to him and said, look, the public expecting from you to be in charge and to promise us safety. He was very impressed, and it was a breakthrough in the way that Israel actually approached and handled road safety. The Minister of Transportation, by law, his title has been changed to Minister Transportation and Road Safety.
I remember when the Minister for Security, Sar HaBitachon, he thought he was demoted, and he ended up becoming the Minister for Transportation.
Right.
And I remember thinking, if we're looking at the numbers of casualties, now you're the Minister of Safety. Looking after road safety is more important for people's health than anything else these days.
Yeah, that's correct. And you're referring to Mofaz. And he took it as a demotion because he was the Minister of Defense. And now he's only Minister of Transportation.
That's right, it hit his sense of
pride.
But
he took it very, very seriously. Mm. And actually he put road safety before transportation.
Wow.
And he was one of the good ministers regarding road safety in Israel.
And then we moved on to talk about Shachaf and the social action communities. Now, in a sense, the idea of social action communities in Israel isn't new. We used to call them kibbutz, or their agricultural partner, moshav. Kibbutzim and moshavim were established, even before the establishment of the state, to inject ideological activists into regions that needed developing by creating ideological communities. Even at their height, kibbutz members were never more than 3% of Israel's total population. Only 3%. But look at what an impact kibbutz had. So now the Shachaf Foundation, with Avi Naor, are backing, and I guess you'd say, Kibbutz Mark II. Powerful, motivated young people ready to commit to their vision of a healthy society.
Now, what I'm interested in also hearing from you is the work with the Shachaf Foundation and this work with communities. And this seems like almost the opposite, that this is something which needs to happen from grassroots and not from the government. What's the problem and why can't the government do it?
First, I believe that always there is a need, if you want your operation to scale up, to be sustainable, you need the government as a partner. Uh-huh. Because the private sector can never do things just by themselves. Now, the huge difference between Or Yarok and Shachaf is that Or Yarok cannot do things, we cannot do enforcement, we cannot do infrastructure, nobody can do it, only the government.
Right.
So one of the main things for Or Yarok is to do the advocacy, so the government will do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
With Shachaf, it's about building communities of young people from the periphery and from the other regions, the more established regions in Israel, coming together to the periphery and build their life there. This is something that can be done by the public. Government, it's very limited. So by nature, this is grassroots regarding who are the people that goes there, the backbone, and the overall ideology.
And why periphery? What's wrong with the periphery?
When I say periphery, first of all, I mean the geographical and the social periphery. In Israel, there is a huge gap between this periphery and the center. It's not only that it's not it's unjust, it's immoral, it's also something that divide, separate the social fabric of the Israeli society. President Rabbi Rivlin spoke about the tribes. And in many aspects, we have tribes. We have periphery and the center. We have the religious and the non-religious. We have Arabs and Jews. All those things are separate between the Israeli social fabric. I believe that when we look at the overall strengths of the Israeli society, first of all, it should come and it will come from our ability to be united, to recognize that there are differences and appreciate that there are differences in opinions, in ideology, but all people should get basic rights, chances for education, for contributing individual in the society.
There's something I don't fully understand about the need to set up purposeful communities when I know probably most people in Washington were brought up to understand that Israel is one big community. It's a small country. It's not much larger in terms of population than greater Washington. It was set up by kibbutzim and by moshavim, and isn't everything a community in Israel? What's not happening now?
When I spoke about the tribes, it's that even though we are only 8 million, we are quite segmented and separated. And the difference between Ofakim and Tel Aviv, it's not only in terms of how far Ofakim is from Tel Aviv. It's in many aspects, different culture, different countries. The chance for a child in Ofakim to get decent education is less than in Tel Aviv, significantly. The chance of a person in Ofakim to get decent medicine is less. And this is something that we can measure, and we see it by mm-hmm. results.
So why communities?
There is a social chain. And the strength of this chain is as strong as the weakest link. And we are talking about weak links, not because the people are weak or are not as good as the one in the center. They have less chances. The government is putting less resources per capita there than they are putting in Tel Aviv. Parents cannot afford their children to go to after hours, different kind of classes to give them support. An average child in Tel Aviv, in my children's school, other than having courses in different kind of sport and computers and whatever they want, they will have teachers that will help them in mathematics, in English, in whatever they need. So their results will be better, not because they are better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the communities that we are talking about, they're going to the periphery with the decision, with the willing to stay there and to build their life. They are not coming to correct, to fix things. They, first of all,
they're not parachuting in and out.
Exactly. To be part of the society there and to build their life there. To have their children, and the children will go to the regular schools with everybody, and they will be part of the PTAs, and they will be part of the community. And they will be able to help their neighbors and to support their neighbors. And it's important to emphasize, not only about young people that are coming out of the periphery to the periphery, I'm talking about environment that actually keeps the young people from the periphery at home. Because if you have a young person in Dimona, right now, if you will ask them what is their dream, it's to go and study, to go out. So who goes out? Those ones that have the better chance, the best chance, to go to the university, to find job in Tel Aviv. So the best ones are going out. Now, if you can challenge them by giving them opportunities, by giving them challenges, they will stay. Because by the end of the day, their preference is to stay at their place. But they need these challenges. They need the hope. They need the future. So these communities are about offering an environment to the young people in the periphery that want to stay, that those ones that already left and are coming back now because they have something to come back. And together, they are putting their energy and efforts in supporting the society in general at the periphery.
And so how many of these communities are there?
There are over 200, there are about 250 communities already.
Wow.
With over 10,000 members. You mentioned the kibbutzim and the moshavim. You know, at the peak, I would say that the kibbutzim and moshavim were less than 3.5% of the Israeli society. Yet the impact, the social impact, was enormous, much, much more than their proportion size. So we believe that that's what we see now happening. It's not that we will see it. We see it happening. Because around such a community of 20, 30, 40 people, there are about 100, 200, 300 of volunteers that care about their community.
A huge energy
and
multiplier.
Together they are doing things. And it's like an onion. You can see that there are layers and layers and layers. And by the end of the day, you can see thousands of people around activities, community activities, activities at school and different places. There, it's a new spirit. It's something that is very, very important.
Sounds fantastic. Avinu Or, thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, Washington. I want to take this opportunity and invite everyone listening to us to meet the community members at the Meet the Changemakers event on February 7th, hosted by our wonderful partners, the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington.
He's right. Two of Shachaf's mission-driven community members will be in Greater Washington on Wednesday evening, February 7th. Come to listen to the personal stories of Hadass Goldman and Yuval Bdulach. The event will take place from 7:30 p.m. until about 9 at Viz Arts in Rockville. Register now at www.shalomdc.org/changemakers. Hope to see you there. Of course, I'll actually not be there with you, but I'm still left with the impression of Avi Naor, nevertheless. Not only left with his generosity, but also an appreciation of his wisdom. Jewish tradition asks, Ezehu Chacham, who is wise? And the answer is, Halomed Mikol Adam, one who learns from every person. And it's clear that Avi Naor listens, learns from everywhere, in order to empower others to achieve lasting and crucial change. And thank you for listening. This podcast, part of the Imagine Israel Initiative, is brought to you by the Jewish Federation of Greater Washington and hosted and produced by me, Robbie Greengrass of Macomb. You can find us on shalomdc.org/Imagine Israel Podcast.